Welcome to the Mass Device Fast Five MedTech News Podcast, the show that keeps you up to date on the latest breakthroughs in medical technology with the top five news stories to get your day started. I'm your host, Danielle Kirsch, and today I'm joined by my co-host, Sean Hooley. What news do you have for us today on this Friday episode, Sean?
Today we'll discuss positive data for Conformal Medical's LAAO device, another step for Autonomics' cancer ablation technology, European approval for a major neuromodulation system, FDA breakthrough device designation for a new stent, and more data supporting Edwards TAVR offerings.
What's the first news story that we should know?
Conformal Medical reported encouraging results for its left atrial appendage occlusion, or LAAO, device. It's very limited data in a seemingly controlled environment, but Conformal Medical seems buoyed by the results.
So we talk about LAA devices on this podcast pretty frequently, but could you tell us what this device is, what it does?
Yeah, so it's the CLAAS device, C-L-A-A-S. It's made of foam, interestingly, and features a cup design with an embedded nitinol skeleton covered by a fluoropolymer, or EPTFE, cover. It occludes or blocks the left atrial appendage, hence LAAO, to prevent clots from traveling into the bloodstream.
What did this study compare?
So the in vitro study compared the relative thrombogenicity of CLAAS compared to the Watchman FLX, which is Boston Scientific's competing LAAO device. Investigators inserted three of each device into an acute radio-labeled in vitro blood loop system, and after about 90 to 120 minutes of exposure, investigators visually assessed the implants and measured the radio labels. And Conformal Medical said that CLAAS demonstrated incomplete coverage with seemingly thinner thrombus, seeing 44% lower platelet deposition as well.
So what are doctors saying about these results?
Dr. William Gray, who presented the results, said that the results were very encouraging, indicating that CLAAS appeared less thrombotic than the Watchman FLX in this in vitro blood loop model. He said that device-related thrombus remains a concern in left atrial appendage closure, and advances in device design may help mitigate this in the clinical setting. The fluoropolymer component in this device appears to be less thrombogenic as well, which may reduce that device-related thrombus, he said, but more studies are required to further validate these results.
And what's our next news story?
Autonomics completed the first procedures in its pancreatic cancer ablation trial. It's a big step for the company, which only completed animal trials a couple of months ago.
What will this trial assess?
It's a proof-of-concept trial evaluating the technology's ability to successfully ablate somatic nerves and mitigate pain. The first three patients in the trial had pancreatic cancer pain and received this radiofrequency ablation with the company's transvascular approach.
So can you tell us about this technology a little bit? Pancreatic cancer is, you know, a really serious cancer that's typically hard to treat. So what is this technology?
Yeah, for sure. And we talk about ablation technology a lot, but less so, I would say, in cancers. So it's an interesting approach using that transvascular radio frequency with a catheter-based system that performs basically two tasks. First, it senses neural signals associated with pain or disease, and then it precisely targets those nerves for the cancer treatment.
How optimistic are executives?
CEO Lori Bissian said the principal investigator was able to navigate the catheter to the target treatment area and perform the specified ablations with no significant adverse events, said the completed procedures represent a significant milestone as well as giving the company important momentum in both the advancement of the technology and the treatment landscape for pancreatic cancer pain, where there remains an unmet need.
What's our next news story?
Axonix won CE mark for its fourth-generation rechargeable sacral neuromodulation system. The approval in Europe comes about 14 months after the FDA approved the same system.
What does this device do?
Well, it's an implantable system that provides therapy for patients suffering from overactive bladder or fecal incontinence. As I mentioned, it won FDA approval in January 2023. It's the R20 neurostimulator, uses the same small 5cc form factor as the previous generation R15. It pairs with the same timed lead and intuitive patient remote control as well. It also has enhanced programming capabilities with expanded MRI labeling as well, which we talk about often on the show is a very crucial part of these implants.
And when will it begin selling this device?
The company expects to begin selling R20 to European customers in mid-April, so about a month from now. CEO Raymond Cohen said the company wants to drive significant market expansion in both the U.S. and international markets in the years ahead.
I recall Axonix has been in the news recently for other things, right?
Yeah, well, the company clearly continues to plug along on the regulatory front, but it's preparing to be acquired by Boston Scientific in a $3.7 billion deal that was announced a couple months ago. It said at the time, the company said that they expect the deal to close in the first half of this year, but there are questions sort of arising over the status of the acquisition after reports from Bloomberg suggested a longer look from the FTC based on some antitrust concerns. So we're still watching that one closely. And at the same time, there's some sacral neuromodulation drama, I suppose, between Axonix and Medtronic. Medtronic actually asked governing bodies to stop Axonix sales of its devices as they engage in a long-running patent spat. So that's ongoing as well.
And now we have some breakthrough nod news.
Yeah, Safeguard Surgical won FDA breakthrough device designation for a biodegradable stent. The company's also backed by an NFL quarterback, which is interesting, but it was an intriguing announcement that included Series A funding, with the company noting that NFL veteran Jameis Winston is an early investor.
Biodegradable is an interesting trait to have in a stent. So can you tell us what this stent is?
Yeah, there's not a ton of detail as to sort of what it does necessarily, but it's called the LeakGuard device. It's a biodegradable stent, as mentioned, made from a medical-grade polymer designed to protect patients from surgical leaks, like any other stent, but obviously with that biodegradable aspect.
How does it differ from other stents?
Well, basically, the way the company describes it is that it's inserted during surgery in across the anastomosis. The stent is supposed to prevent patients from requiring a second surgery, and it also prevents complications and costs while saving lives. That's really all the company is offering on it right now.
So what are executives saying?
Jill Kelly, the COO and co-founder of the company, said it's developing a series of sustainable and scalable biodegradable solutions that will save countless lives and billions of dollars. So the company is clearly optimistic and confident in its technology moving forward.
And now our final news bit is from Edwards.
That's right. Edwards reported excellent outcomes with its Sapien transcatheter aortic valve replacement, or TAVR. The body of evidence supporting one of the leading TAVR systems on the market just continues to grow here.
What are some of the study results that stuck out to you in the first set of results? I know there were two studies here at play.
Yeah, Edwards reported that all of its TAVR platforms showed excellent paravalvular leak, or PVL, results, noting a significant reduction in PVL using the 29mm Sapien 3 Ultra Resilia, which is the most recent generation of that technology compared to the original Sapien 3. On that metric, 88.3% of patients showed no paravalvular leak, and only 10% exhibited mild PVL. So investigators also associated that latest generation Sapien 3 Ultra Resilia with low rates of all-cause mortality, cardiac death, all stroke, life-threatening bleeding, major vascular complications, and permanent pacemaker implantation in hospital or at 30 days. So clearly a lot of positive outcomes with the most recent TAVR platform from the company.
Interesting. What about some of the results that stuck out in that second set of study results?
Yeah, well, this one compared the different sizes of Sapien valves, effectively trying to determine if the smaller sizes are as effective as larger. And it found that patients with 20mm Sapien valve demonstrated excellent all-cause mortality and stroke outcomes at 30 years, and it proved equivalent to those receiving 23mm, 26mm, and 29mm valve sizes. So the valves performed the same across basically all sizes.
How excited are executives?
Larry Wood, Edwards' corporate VP and group president of TAVR and Surgical Structural Heart, said that the real-world data further adds to the robust body of evidence on the performance of Edwards' Sapien TAVR and highlight the meaningful advancements in terms of the Sapien 3 Ultra Resilia valve, which provides patients with severe aortic stenosis the leading option for true lifetime management of their heart valve disease.
And that was the final news story that we had for today. So thank you, Sean, for bringing us all the news and all of your insights.
My pleasure. As always, read more on the Mass Device website and check out the show notes at massdevice.com/podcast.
Connect with us online. I'm on LinkedIn at Danielle Kirsch, K-I-R-S-H. Where can they find you, Sean?
You can find me on LinkedIn, Sean, S-E-A-N, Hooley, W-H-O-O-L-E-Y.
Subscribe to the Mass Device Fast Five wherever you listen to podcasts and share this episode. We are taking a little break after this episode, and we will be back at a later time. So I hope you join us then for when the next episode comes through your feed, or just follow us on LinkedIn to see when we post a new episode. So thank you for listening.